This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. Meanwhile, we're turning our attention to Hong Kong. The zero COVID policy and political instability are causing Hong Kong to lose its allure as a global financial center. Banks and firms are reporting difficulty to recruit or retain talents, and offices are struggling to operate.
Yeah, this outflow of population is witnessed among locals and expats. Visa approvals for foreigners have fallen from more than 40,000 in 2019 to just over 10,000 in the first 9 months of last year. So that's a quarter of inflows from foreigners. And with fewer people arriving to replace them, Hong Kong's population witnessed a record drop of 1.2% last year. And meanwhile, the city yesterday confirmed 140 new COVID infections. That's the highest number of daily cases in a year and a half.
So Hong Kong's strict COVID rules and extreme quarantine for international arrivals have been in place for a long time. But will there be any compromise moving forward, or will the city lose its crown as an international financial hub over these measures? For some insights, we speak to Michael Frank, Senior Analyst of Public Policy at Economist Impact. Michael, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, we're seeing reports of the departure of top talent in Hong Kong, and some key posts in the financial sector are left unfilled. What would you say is the primary reason for this? Is it because of the extremely strict zero COVID policy, or is it because of a lack of freedom from within?
Good morning. Yeah, at this stage, the main culprit really is the zero COVID policy. And as many Hong Kong-based expats are visiting their home countries or hearing from friends and family about life there, they increasingly feel like zero COVID is a futile and unworthy goal. I think that was true over the summer when many countries started dropping their restrictions and the vaccinated were really protected against the Delta variant. But especially now where Omicron infections in the vaccinated are producing only mild or even asymptomatic illness. So people really want to live their lives, and Hong Kong's policy is out of step with the rest of the world and even the advice of most doctors and public health experts globally. Now, that's not to say that finance isn't also concerned about the political situation. They certainly are. But both of these factors are combining to make Hong Kong a less appealing destination.
So in the context of Hong Kong as the second Asian financial hub after either Tokyo or even Singapore, what's the outlook looking like for Hong Kong from your perspective?
Well, I think it's increasingly bleak because sectors at the top of the value chain like finance are only as good as the talent that they employ. The Hong Kong Banking Industry Association pointed out this week that Hong Kong has always had a talent deficit but was always able to bridge the gap by bringing in foreign talent. Now they're increasingly unable or even unwilling to consider Hong Kong as a destination. So you think about the consequences of that. One is that you're just going to have less financial expertise in China as it's becoming a national priority to make financial markets more sophisticated. So that transition is going to take it's going to take more time. And China's finance sector will continue resembling that of a developing economy rather than an advanced market. I think the second big consequence is that China's just going to be less of a commercial priority too. It'll still be a major market, but particularly for subsectors that thrive on face-to-face meetings, personal networks, and due diligence, I'm thinking of hedge funds and private equity, you know, the risk-adjusted expected return just goes down the less information you have about an opportunity. So they'll likely redirect some capital that would have been bound for China and send it elsewhere.
Yeah, this hardline stance by China seems incongruous, to say the least, because it is a country with a government that thinks very long-term and strategically, no?
Well, you know, it's consistent with, I think, the view of the central government that victory over COVID is not only a public health priority, it's a political priority. And so there's a lot of political attention being given in the central government around zero COVID. And if that has been the goal and the gauntlet is thrown down, then that really does narrow the space for political action. And so, you know, in terms of long term, I think a lot of people who look at this from an economic perspective, you know, certainly at Economist Impact, we try to isolate these consequences by politics and economics. The economics of this in the long term are not good. But to be honest, even in the short term, they're not good either. And you look at, you know, China's growth statistics, the exodus of talent in Hong Kong. These are really alarming short-term trends.
Michael, could you give us a sense of the sentiment on the ground with regard to the COVID strategy? Because at the moment, most independent media outlets have been silenced. So, but what is the chatter like among people who live there?
Well, I think people just feel that this is increasingly a cartoonish policy that they don't agree with. When they see, you know, I think it was different last year when Hong Kong had no cases and the rest of the world was really struggling and the world didn't have vaccines and social distancing and quarantine policy was still relatively new. I think that people on the ground in Hong Kong were more willing to accept those more draconian measures. But this year, even as we've had some very effective vaccines that anyone can access in Hong Kong for free, as even as those have become available, the policies have become even more draconian. We've gone from 14 days of mandatory quarantine to 21 with zero exceptions for vaccine status. And when you just consider all of this in context, you know, it's not like people's daily lives are, you know, really difficult. I think that people don't feel like they're deserving of sympathy. It's still a very nice place to be. But when you look at the full constellation of factors here, you know, people just feel like this is, there's no strategy to get out of this, this loop. And it's not a place that they're going to want to be in the long term.
Yeah, Michael, this hardline stance is no good for business. What does that mean for ASEAN, which does a lot of business with China?
Well, it's interesting when you consider what is Hong Kong's future, you know, as a financial center. I think a big part of it, you know, to this point, Hong Kong has been a leader regionally and played a really important role as China's conduit to ASEAN and even from European, Japanese, American investors to help them invest in ASEAN. And Hong Kong will still be an important financial center, but it's increasingly going to be a Chinese financial center. And even in that context, you consider, you know, where do you put your headcount, which is ultimately what we're talking about here. It will become increasingly apparent to businesses that it is a better way to deploy your personnel, your resources, by putting your executives and your talent in Beijing, Shanghai, even Shenzhen, if you're trying to serve the Chinese market. And Hong Kong will increasingly look like a Bermuda or Cayman Islands of the East, where you still may see financial flows ultimately ending up in ASEAN or even originating in ASEAN going through Hong Kong. But it's just not going to be the type of globally relevant financial hub that we have come to think of as Hong Kong.
Michael, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Michael Frank, Senior Analyst of Public Policy at Economist Impact, talking to us about the situation in Hong Kong, the repercussions of the strict COVID restrictions currently in place, and also the long-term outlook for the financial hub, whether it can remain that way.
Yeah, if you've ever played that game Risk, yeah, it's about how you marshal your resources to the benefit of your sovereign countries, right? And this sounds as if China knows what China is doing, and I think this is very strategic for them because if they like Michael Frank says, they're trying to in a way consolidate their key capital cities within the, you know, within the economic sectors, whether it's Shanghai or Beijing or Shenzhen, then maybe they take away the luster from Hong Kong and then consolidate within their main cities. And then they become even stronger. You know, they fortify their cities that way.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.